just being a woman and juggling all the different things, trying to juggle it all and not share it or bother anybody. And all it takes is one thing to make me snap, because I'm like, I'm juggling it all.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden someone's like, why haven't you? And I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah.
I have been holding it together this whole time. Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again. I'm Rachel Pitts, mom, wifey, realtor from BRG, turned mortgage loan officer with U.S. Mortgage.
And I'm Gina Tremarco, founder and sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv. Super excited today about our guest, Kate Bailey. What did you think, Rach?
I think that any woman who is a part of the FDNY is a badass already, and Kate helped to prove that. It's very interesting.
She's totally a badass, and any woman who's out there doing a job that's stereotypically man-dominated, male-dominated, and making a difference, I think that's really huge. And she talks a lot about that on this episode. She also talks about a learning disability that she had to battle with and come through and power through that.
Yep. Kate Bailey is a writer, coach, entrepreneur, and advocate for social change among women. In February 2019, Kate resigned from the New York Fire Department EMS Academy in Queens as an instructor. Upon her resignation, the chief of EMS, who happens to be female, we talk about that on the show, responded to Kate's notice of departure in a letter stating, "I'm not surprised. It's impossible to stop a shooting star." Today, although Kate Bailey has departed from service, she still operates an unofficial community of approximately 700 women called the FDNY Sisters. This is a group of women who are dedicated to changing the way the service values women and the way women value themselves and each other through extreme sisterhood.
And one of the prereqs to be an FDNY sister is that you have to identify as female and you must have worked for FDNY for any length of time. Women in the FDNY Sisters have been so excited by the group concept that they asked Kate if non-service members could join. And although the member requirements could not change, the requests inspired Kate to create an online course and community for personal development called Woman 911 Academy. And we talk about that on this episode as well. It's really cool. I think you guys are going to like this episode. I think you're going to love it. And let's get going and listen to Kate. All right, let's get started with this show. We are so excited today to have Kate Bailey on Women Your Mother Warned You About. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for having me.
And you are, you said you're from New York, but you're now in Florida, right?
That's correct. Yeah. I was born on Long Island. I grew up all around the tri-state area and moving in and out of the five boroughs. And my husband is Bronx born, and we were like, we can wait in New York for another 15 years until we can retire, or we can say, fuck it, and go to Florida now. And we said, fuck it.
Yes. We love warm. Saying fuck it on this show.
Now you're kind of so warm.
I don't hear the Long Island or the Bronx or the any New York in you.
Oh, I got to get drunk. It'll come out. Or when I get really angry, like if I have to stand up for a friend or family member, it comes out. It's crazy.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we got to know you through, I believe, Keith Walters met you.
Yes. Keith Walters met my husband, actually. They had a little romance going on first.
Ooh. Tell us about the bromance. We love talking about Keith when he's not on the show.
Yeah, they were sitting side by side at this women's conference that we were at, and they were kind of bonding. And then afterwards, my husband introduced me to Keith, and then Keith gave me your card and was like, you need to talk to these ladies. And I was like, okay. But he was just gushing about you two and the show and the podcast and how disruptive it is. And he's like, you're a disruptive woman and this is a disruptive podcast. You need to get in touch with these ladies. And I didn't even have a card with his name on it. He just gave me the Women Your Mother Warned You About card. So I had actually forgot his name for a while. I was like, man. But yeah.
He's wise. He knows that you can find him on that website, and that's all you need to know.
Exactly.
That's all you need. That card leads you back to Keith. And what was this event that you were at?
Oh, the Mama Gina School of Womanly Arts. It's like a intensive over the spring, over the course of 3 months, every weekend, 900 women getting together and getting in touch with their power. It was quite amazing.
We are dying to go to a Mama Gina event.
Yes, super jealous about your experience because we're dying for it.
Yeah, you would be so excited. I mean, it's just completely mind-blowing. Mama Gina is a feminist icon. There's no way you can't hover in her space for a minute and not completely change the way you look at the world. It's really cool.
Well, you know, the irony to all of this is that Rachel and I learned about Mama Gina and the power of pussy from Keith.
That is so fabulous. That is so juicy. Yes. You know, Mama Gina calls women sister goddesses. But when we were in mastery and we had the day where the men came in, we called the men brother gods. And Keith is a brother god. It's amazing.
He is. He is. He always is continuously educating us on where we should go to get more in touch with our inner goddess. It's hilarious.
Some people just follow the path and know where to go.
My husband supports Keith's adventures. He's like, yes, more of that, please.
I think that's a reference to the slow sex book he asked us to read.
Possibly.
Yeah, I need to read that one.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Anyway, we digress. Let's talk more about you. And you are the founder and creator of Woman 911 Academy. Tell us more about that.
Oh, so it's so exciting. Woman 911 Academy is kind of like this fusing of all my past experiences and worlds into a single course that I'm developing for women, specifically in high stress occupations. So at one point, I was an instructor at the FDNY Academy, the EMS Academy in Queens, New York, and I worked with some of the baddest, fiercest women you can imagine. I mean, these women are no joke powerhouses, but they take on a lot. They take on so much. And they grapple with things too that come with a job like that, like PTSD, depression, anxiety. And I saw while I was there that, you know, FDNY has been around longer than women have had the right to vote. And it's very patriarchal, very male dominated type of culture there. But all of the assets that we have as women, such as working styles that are more collaborative, empathy, creativity. There is some room for that there, but not as much as I would like. So I noticed that all these women were there and they were kind of just like looking at each other for permission to go deeper. But on the surface, like, you know, we have this very competitive environment, this very male dominated, go harder, you know, just be very competitive to get ahead. And there's a woman that's different that allows us to, when we step out of competition with other women, we can take each other higher by empowering each other. And that really happens when you are connecting face to face and you are relating to each other on a level where you're talking more about what you want in life and your desires rather than gossiping and relating to each other about how crappy you feel and all the suck in your life. Like, it's so easy to go up woman to woman and say, how are you today? And say, oh, you know what? Like, my kids are driving me crazy. Like, I had to work a double shift yesterday. I got another double tomorrow. And just let all this, like, suck kind of come down. And when you're already dealing with burnout and a high-stress occupation, that's just, like, not what you need to be mentally healthy or emotionally stable. So I created a group. It's an unofficial group called the FDNY Sisters, and it's got about 700 women that are dedicated to the social change and the way women interact with each other. It's a safe container, a space where women can practice qualities and assets of being female, such as vulnerability and empathy and collaboration. And I had some women come up to me in that group and they said, you know, this is great. I would love to be able to invite my daughter or my aunt, but the requirements for membership in the group is that you must have identify as female and been employed by FDNY for any length of time in any type of capacity. So whether you're a firefighter, EMS worker, administrative, janitorial, you just have to have worked for FDNY and identify as female, and we welcome you into the group. Now, these women who hadn't worked for FDNY, I had enough of them ask me about the group that it inspired me to create Woman 911 Academy. So this is a safe container based on a teaching that I've developed over the past couple of years called Protocols for the Fucking Trauma of Being Strong and Female, which are basically like small actionable steps you can take to develop the tools required to step into authentic strength, especially when you're in the face of a very like male dominated working style type of culture.
Tell me about the experiences, some of the experiences that you had in the industry that led you to feel like there was a serious need for this. Like, what are some of the challenges? I mean, I can only imagine some of the things that you must have faced as a female in that environment that's so very male dominated.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different kinds of experiences. Where to even begin? Because this particularly too has been an amazing year for EMS. And the fire department as a whole, we have a female chief now. She's a 4-star chief. For the first time in 154 years in FDNY history, we have a female chief, and she's also openly gay. So she is doing a lot of work to bring in initiatives that empower women. And I actually look up to her as a mentor and follow her keynote speeches on YouTube and things like that.
What's her name?
Lillian Bonsignor. She's very inspiring to me. Actually, when I put in my resignation at FDNY, she was like, oh, you know, in her response letter, she's like, I can't say I'm happy, but I'm also not surprised. It's impossible to stop a shooting star. She was just so helpful and such a great mentor. But, you know, the FDNY is very open to women, and these male-dominated types of cultural constructs are open to women. They're just not like set up, you know? So for example, while I was there, there wasn't enough space in the locker room. So my locker was literally in the garage where we keep the ambulance bay, you know? So I had to go into my locker in the ambulance bay and then kind of shuffle in if I wanted to take a shower. Like, it's just, things are not set up. And they have lots of support. Like, they have their own, you know, counseling services units and things like that. But if you experience things like depression or anxiety, you can go to them and get one-on-one support. But actually having a group where you feel like you can talk about the things that you go through on a day-to-day basis, particularly for women, I didn't see much of that. And that's why I wanted to create it. Personally, I was going through some things at work. I had found out delightfully that I was pregnant, but it wound up failing at some point. So I'm on the job working a cardiac arrest in the middle of July, not realizing I'm pregnant. And then I go through this whole thing where it doesn't work out and I start grappling with some things that go along with that. Depression, changes in my body, you know, and I still have to show up to work every single day. And I really wanted to have a space where we could relate to each other as women going through this type of thing on the job, because there are women on the job who will be pregnant until their 8th, 9th month. I mean, these women are badass, you know? And then afterwards, when they have the baby, they still have to breastfeed and all that. And now, you know, they're starting to get in things like these Mama Vop pods where you can have privacy in certain pods and breastfeeding, but they're not available at every station yet, you know. So there's a lot that goes along with just the culture of being a woman that as an institution, whether it's FDNY, NYPD, whatever, they're just not set up yet to fully integrate like a female culture, you know, so make little steps every day towards that.
And what's amazing is that why are they not set up yet? It's not like all of a sudden there's women working there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I actually have a friend in Chicago who was an EMS and nurse. She was like both. And I remember when she got pregnant, and she said, I can't let anyone know. I have to like hold off as long as possible because the second they find out, they're going to make me step down. Because she was, you know, she was on the ambulance every day and she hid her pregnancy as long as she could.
Well, that's one thing I have to say. Like, I don't know about where she was at, but FDNY is super supportive. Like, they had told me, you know, whatever you need, whatever you feel like you need to do, just like feel it out. Like they are extremely supportive. They would never tell me you have to hide it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, like, this was the early 90s. So,
oh, geez. Yeah.
You know, it's still a while back, but still you would think it would be more supportive.
Yeah. And I think the support system is like so key, especially with EMS. That's what I saw too, because EMS in New York is different. I don't know if you have seen everything that's been going on the news with the issues in the pay differences between the EMS department and fire, but firefighters make substantially more than people do in EMS. And there was this big issue with Mayor Bill de Blasio at one point while he was being interviewed by a reporter. He had said in response to the reason why EMS was paid less is because the work is different. And, you know, EMS is, I love these people. So they reply and they completely owned that shit. And they're like, yes, the work is different. And here's why, you know, and you have a lot of single mothers on this job, working this job. And you need approximately, what is it, like 65K to meet the cost of living in New York City. And when you start off as a first year EMT, you're making 34K a year. And if you're a single mom, like I would literally go to work, restart someone's heart, come home and fill out an application for food stamps. Like it's insane. It's absolutely insane. So you have these people who are going through all this issues with not getting paid what they're worth. They take the same amount of risk as the firefighters. They're showing up in these unstable, unpredictable environments. And then on top of that, you have to navigate, and this is what I say in my Woman 911 Academy course, you have to navigate the trauma of being female and being strong in that environment as well. So it's just, there's so much going on and you really need support because, what was it? Have you read the book by Brené Brown, Dare to Lead yet?
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, and she talks in there about this study in the Harvard Business Review about how they found out that essentially burnout was from not being overcommitted or, you know, working double shifts or the nature of the job, but it was from loneliness. It was from a lack of connection, you know? So what would happen is, and I see this too when I was on the job, is if you are burned out, stressed out, your lieutenant, whoever, will tell you to go home and, you know, rest for a week. And then you go home and what? Nobody's really there for you, supporting you. And then you come back and you feel more burned out than when you started because you were going home dealing with anxiety, depression, PTSD, all these things you didn't have a support system for.
And you can't just sleep that kind of thing off.
No, you cannot. Absolutely not. No.
Did you specialize in anything that gave you the skill set to start doing this type of work with women?
Yeah. I think a lot of my specialty comes from personal experience, but all growing up as well, I had different types of jobs or roles. I was a teacher's aide for multi-disabled children. I myself have been diagnosed with a learning disability. I've been diagnosed with major depressive disorder. I've gone through different types of therapies, and just, I think my personal path in life was this. Part of my issue with my learning disability is reading comprehension, right? So for a long time, I kept going back to school. I went to like 6 colleges and didn't actually get a bachelor's. And I was wondering, like, what the hell happened? Like, why am I not getting my bachelor's? Why am I not finishing the classes? I go in, I get all A's, and then eventually I get all F's and I fail out. I'm obviously smart, so what's going on? You know, by the time I figured it out, it had been like 6 colleges later. And I think it was like 2014, 2015, I discovered audiobooks and my whole world opened up. And like, just like a sponge, I was just listening to everything I could on sociology, psychology, women's empowerment, the DSM. So although I don't have the traditional accolades, I'm very well versed on the gamut of mental health issues as well. Especially being an EMS instructor, you're required to be trained in behavioral emergencies. Psychological emergencies. I've given psychological first aid to over 10,000 New Yorkers in the course of working at FDNY. And there's some things that you notice, you can identify. Like, it really doesn't take more than a second for me to spot a woman who's like deep in the throes of depression, even if on the surface, like everybody thinks she's fine.
That's the kind that's especially dangerous, in my opinion, of the people that everybody thinks they're fine. And how many celebrities have we heard about, you know, that we thought they were fine and they're so funny, like Robin Williams, and then boom. And that's a hard thing. So it's important for someone like you to be able to spot that in people. And they can't, sometimes don't even spot it in themselves. They're just trying to survive.
Well, depression is so dynamic. It's such a crazy environment, and you don't know where it comes from or what to expect because there's so many different causes of it. I remember the first time that I got help for depression, I went into a therapist, right? And I was one of those like high-performing, strong females that 100% was like, I got it. I can do this all on my own. Everything's fine. I don't need anybody. I don't need any help. And I had been operating like that for a while. And I got into the therapist's office and they have this like intake form where they kind of do like a diagnostic on where you're at. And I was filling out the form and it was like, did you have a major loss of income? Check. Did you have a relationship that was abusive? Check. Did you suffer a major natural disaster? And this was like Hurricane Sandy too. Check. Do you have an addiction? And I was like smoking cigarettes like crazy at the time. Check. So I'm looking at this list and it's like, check, check, check. It's like, no wonder I fucking have depression. Like, there's so much going on. And we're not in tune to how much we take on or how much we're going through as women, because I think we're kind of taught like, you know, just go, 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 take care of everybody else. And then when you have time, you'll get to yourself. You know?
Oh yeah. And make sure you look good while you do it all.
And make sure you look good. Oh my gosh. Right. It's crazy. But, I think like that was the first time I really realized how much I was taking on when I saw that list in front of me and how natural it was to feel the way I was feeling because I was taking on so much. And I think that was the first moment I kind of decided to give myself some grace and be like, okay, you've got a lot going on here. Like, maybe you should just give yourself a little time.
And so this happens to a lot of women every day. If just being a woman and juggling all the different things you're juggling, I know I've had a variety of things going on and I'm trying to juggle it all and not share it or tell anybody about it or bother anybody. And all it takes is one thing to make me snap. Because I'm like, I'm juggling it all.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden someone's like, why haven't you? And I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah.
I have been holding it together this whole time.
And
please don't ask me if I'm okay, because I start crying at that phrase.
Yeah, because that's what it's like. That's the nature of the beast. Like, the thing with depression is once you've had like a depressive episode, your threshold for stress goes down. So then every little thing that follows after that is this big apocalyptic thing, you know, that you kind of just like,
I broke a nail. Oh my God. The world is ending.
Yeah. So you could be at work and like, hey, everybody, the world is shiny and happy and great. And then you turn around and like somebody like bumps into you and you are bawling in the bathroom with no support. Yeah. It's crazy.
Hey, Warners, you have probably heard me talk on several occasions about how much I love wearing red lipstick. Lipstick is just one of those things that makes me feel good about how I look. And sometimes a little extra enhancement to my lips from Dermavogue doesn't hurt either. I've known Dr. Jim Turek of Dermavogue for years. He is not only my doctor who keeps my body healthy, he and his Dermavogue team keep my face looking healthy and maybe a little younger, maybe. I mean, I love it when people say, something looks different about your face, but they can't really tell because that's really what you want. You want to go to a place that makes your face look as good and it makes people wonder what happened. So what's really cool about Dermavogue being our premier sponsor of this show is the fact that I'm a client and I was a client before they became a partner of the show. So we're excited about that. Dermavogue has been offering the greater Myrtle Beach area the best in cosmetic and aesthetic dermatology since 2003. Opened by Dr. James Turek, Dermavogue combines expert medical knowledge with cutting-edge technology, bringing you the most effective, flawless solutions to any skincare or cosmetic need. Their patients enjoy only the absolute best in laser technology, including photodynamic laser therapy, hydrofacials, and V-beam laser treatments, as well as the latest fillers such as Botox, skin peels, facials, and more. At Dermavogue, they engage you in the process of total body health to ensure your satisfaction with their comprehensive selection of the most up-to-date, non-invasive cosmetic, dermatology, and spa treatments. It's human nature to want to look your best, right? Let Dermavogue help you get there. Schedule your consultation today by calling 843-357-2444 or visit dermavogue.com and tell them that the women your mother warned you about sent you. You can also find them on our website. Go check it out.
So looking at your program, your 911 Academy, what can women expect from that program? What does it include? What will you be doing? What will they walk away with?
Yeah, so they can expect to get the foundational tools required to start to develop authentic strength. Not this bullshit, I've got it on my own, everything's fine, but it's not really fine kind of strength. But the kind of strength where you're rock solid on who you are, what you want, and how to get it. The program I'm starting is 30 Days to Authentic Strength. I hope to build out further and have a more comprehensive 8-week program in the future. But also what comes with this is a community component. So members only will be allowed into a Facebook group where you can find women fiercely supporting each other, because that's so critical. One thing I noticed during, you know, depression and through other friends and family members who've experienced depression is this. You feel like when you're in the throes of it, you have energy for absolutely nothing. Like, you feel like if you're going to show up for a social engagement, that somebody's going to take the little bit of energy that you have left to give. And it's really intimidating. And you wind up spending a lot of time being protective of that. But the paradox is, what gives you energy to get out of that is connection with other people. And how do you connect to people when you've got so much going on already and you don't know where to go or what to do? So that's what the community is there for, to provide that connection so you can start to have the type of relationships that energize you and feed into you actually getting out of depression instead of demanding more from you, more time, more energy, more of your money, right? To keep you in that spot. So they can also expect to have a very welcoming community of other women who get it, who have been there, who've worked in high stress occupations, and who are looking to destigmatize all the mental health issues that go along with those fields.
Awesome. Where can people find out more about that?
They can go to woman911academy.com. I also do like a free 30-minute assessment to see if it's a right fit for you, if it's something that you'd be interested in, or they can just send me an email at info@woman911academy.com.
And are there certain requirements that these women need to be a part of this group?
They just have to identify as female and be willing to want to take that leap to invest in themselves. It's really hard just to even get to that point, but they have to be at the point where they're kind of fed up and want something different and want to change. That's really the only requirement.
Gotcha. Let's shift over to your learning disability that you mentioned briefly. Tell us a little more about that and some of your current challenges that I know you you spoke about a little while ago.
Yeah, that's quite an interesting ride. So my learning disability is I have issues with reading comprehension, visual memory, and story memory. What that means is I extrapolate only the most important information when looking at things visually, which is great for when I want to design logos and do brands and things like that. And I only extrapolate the most important information from stories, which makes it really easy to teach people. I knew I had this issue for a long time. You know, I was undiagnosed for a while. I didn't want to put a label on it. And especially in my past working environments, like when I worked for FDNY with other instructors, there were different modalities available to me to learn. So if I wasn't understanding it because somebody presented me with reading material, I knew I could have a conversation with someone, which is the best way I learn, and I could learn the material, right? So I was very much like, I don't want to put a label on it. I kind of know what this is, but you know, I'm an instructor. I'm familiar with learning issues. I'm just going to handle it on my own. And what happened was, is when we took the jump and we moved down to Florida, I needed a job to basically qualify me for a mortgage, buy a house, you know, do all the grown-up things. And I started to work for an insurance company. And the company culture there is really nice, but the training period is like 80% reading. It's just reading from a book, you know? And everybody was kind of treating it like, oh, it's a rite of passage. It's a badge of honor we wear. You get through this crazy reading and then the job is great. And I was explaining to them, no. Like, I really have a problem with reading and comprehending. Is there any other way that I could get the material available in some other modality? Long story short, I got pulled into HR's office. They told me, you know, you've been telling people that you have this learning issue and we want to help you, but you don't have any documentation. It would really help us help you if you got a diagnosis. So I decided, okay, it's time to go get a diagnosis. And I dropped the few grand to get properly diagnosed. I explained to HR this because they were very confused. When you don't have a piece of paper validating your struggles, it's very difficult to get help. You know, I explained to them, look, you know, if you have a kid who has asthma, and you don't have to go to a doctor and the doctor diagnose them with asthma to know they have trouble breathing, right? Like, I know I have trouble comprehending when I read, like, and I know what helps with it. So let me just, you know, but they needed it documented. And so I went, I got the documentation, and my doctor had recommended one-on-one training until competency is achieved, because I literally learn the best by having a conversation and then I can turn right around and teach it. I learn it so well. And I think my company was dissatisfied with the ambiguity of the time frame on that recommendation from my doctor. So what they had said was, yes, we're looking into your accommodation. We're looking into your accommodation. And they wouldn't provide the accommodation until I agreed that it would only take me 1 week to learn everything that I needed to learn. Yeah. And that was not the case. So I had agreed to it because I wanted to see some traction. I wanted to move forward.
I don't think that's legal.
Yeah.
This is an ADA situation and they do have to make an accommodation.
Right. So with the ADA, I mean, you have to have a reasonable accommodation, right? So if it's right. reasonable for them to build a wheelchair ramp and they can afford it, they'll do that, right?
Right.
But if their entire system and structure is not set up to help, then I'm kind of asked out. Like,
but they have to build the structure. That's crazy.
But for this particular situation, it would be interesting because when you go to become a licensed insurance claims adjuster, which is what I was, you have to go through the Department of Finance. So the Department of Finance has their training program to get your licensure. And then the company, the insurance company, has their program. So you have to make it through the reading at the Department of Finance and then the reading there. And I made it and got my license because a compensatory mechanism I have is to pattern match. So I can read a question and identify what the right answer is without even knowing what I'm talking about. So I like passed the test, even though I really didn't know what I was learning. But yeah, they would have to drastically overhaul not just their training modalities, but the Department of Finance's training modalities. So eventually I was like, I can't do this anymore. Because I had been there since April and I had been asking for an accommodation since April. And, you know, in this work environment, there's also a social stigma that goes along with it because people hear me speaking very articulately, very clearly, and then they see me not moving ahead in my work and they make assumptions that I'm either lazy or I'm not doing my job or what's wrong with you, you know? So I had decided, since they weren't agreeing to the exact accommodations that my doctor requested, that I would decide to walk away from a job that forced me to look at my limitations every day instead of empowering me to grow and develop my talents. So I quit. This was last week. I quit last week with no safety net. I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Woman 911 Academy full time. And that's what I did.
What's the actual name of the what's the terminology of the diagnosis? Because I think it's probably more common than we realize that children or adults might be limited in what they're learning in school environments because of something that's left undiagnosed and they're wondering right. What's going on.
Yeah. So I had a really comprehensive exam that tested everything. It also included emotional, just to rule out things like PTSD or anxiety or depression that might be interfering with learning. But essentially it's specifically in reading comprehension, visual memory and story memory. But it was awesome when I got the results back because on the other side of that, my verbal, written, and conversational expression like scored off the charts. So it was like there was some sort of like imbalance, but my brain was kind of, you know, the brain is very plastic. It's very moldable. It's like making up for it somehow.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. So, I mean, if anybody is struggling with being on the fence on whether or not they have a learning disability, you can go to a psychologist, psychiatrist, and just ask to be tested. I think the barrier to that is it's not always covered by insurance, and it can be like a couple of $1,000s. And, you know, when you got a kid in school or if you're a single mother, like who has a couple extra grand to drop on getting diagnosed? But for some people, it will completely change the resources that are available to them. I mean, I'm 38 and it completely changed at least what they were willing to try to do at my job, you know? I would recommend if you think you might have a learning disability and you think you might benefit from a diagnosis, then just go to a doctor and ask to be tested.
You know, I had a friend who, similar to the story you were telling, she really struggled. She kept going back to grad school trying to get another degree, and she had already struggled in her undergrad, and she kept dropping out because she couldn't complete it, and they found out that she had ADD, and that was, she had a learning disability that she couldn't finish school. And once she knew what the disability was, then they were able to help her like get through that so that she could finish her degree.
You know, I think Yeah, there was a lot of confusion for me too. I didn't realize why, and it just kept happening. And I think my saving grace in this was at some point I identified with a community of misfits and entrepreneurs, people who were really smart but didn't have the traditional educational path. And there's like a whole community of people out there who think the way you do. You know, they're just not in traditional methods mm-hmm. of learning. Yeah.
Right.
And there are accommodations that can be made. And I'm just reflecting on a couple of months ago, I shifted from real estate sales into the mortgage industry, and the training process is a lot of reading, but the program that they put us through, or the one that I went through, they would have the document, but they would read it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that I'm assuming would be something a little bit easier for you, that you're hearing it. And I was kind of like, wonder why they're doing this, but it's an accommodation that can be made for situations like what you were just facing that.
Yeah. For the longest time, I would watch at home. I would watch movies with the captions on, so I had visual reinforcement. Sometimes I would slow down the audiobooks and speed it up other times. So yeah, those things I think I started to do naturally. And when I see them in a work environment, like, I really appreciate them and depend on them, you know? So.
Well, and when people learn differently, I see it as it's actually because you need to learn differently. That means that you might actually think differently than some of the more traditional ways that people think. And you're possibly able to create more solutions or different perspectives that people wouldn't necessarily see if they're looking at it inside the box.
That's absolutely. You know. Yeah. And I think it's, for me, it's like one of my best assets. Like, I know how to make that work for me now. I think if you asked me 6 years ago when I was going to all the different colleges and banging my head against the wall, I would have been like, this sucks. But like now I fully own it, understand it. I appreciate everything that it's given me and its beauty, and it's just completely different for me now.
Yeah. And like going back historically to somebody like Einstein, all the famous stories of people saying that his teachers in school saying he was just never going to make it anywhere and he was stupid. And it's just the not traditional way to learn.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, let's start wrapping up towards our favorite questions, our signature questions. Rachel, do you want to start?
Sure. So, Kate, how do you define the word sexy? Oh.
I define it as ownership of who you are. Once you are fully in your power and your authentic self, it is just so fucking sexy to look at, you know, like, yeah.
That's awesome. How would you describe a woman your mother warned you about?
Who did my mother warn me about? My mother was pretty good about like letting me be myself. So I don't know who she would warn me about. It was more that men that she warned me about. but I guess a woman your mother warned you about is somebody who goes against the status quo. Somebody who goes against the grain, is disruptive, and is so 100% sure of who she is and what she's doing that it terrifies people.
Yes. That's the best definition I've heard so far.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's
like
a
it.
Good one.
Thank you.
So what's the best advice you've ever been given?
Oh, this is cliche and everybody's heard it. You don't have to do it alone. That is the best advice I've ever been given. I think tribe is so critical. And like, I mean, when you're born and you see a baby, the first thing they do is like reach out to be held. Like, we're so dependent on each other as humans. And then something happens along the lines of growing up in society, and we think we have to do everything on our own. And we think that we need somebody else to give us permission to ask for help, and we really don't. So the best advice I've ever been given is you don't have to do it alone.
That's awesome.
I don't think that's cliche at all.
Thank you.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah.
I think we need to constantly be reminded of that because we forget about it because we are trying to do everything on our own. What about advice you wish you had been given? In hindsight, you're like, gosh, I wish somebody would tell me that sooner.
Yeah. I definitely had a non-conventional educational path between my six colleges and going to an alternative school. And there were times where I couldn't hide what I was going through. I'm forced to be vulnerable because I'm wearing it on the outside, you know? And that leaves you open and exposed. And the people who can't appreciate you will make fun of you. And if you let those people stay in your head, they can take you down. And the best advice that I could have heard when I was in that space growing up was that everything that everybody makes fun of you for, that is your strength. That is your asset. So if they're telling you you're talking too much, yeah, own that shit. Yeah, I talk too much because I talk too much and I'm really fucking good at it. You know, if they tell you you're to this or to that, then yes, that's where your talent is. And everybody doesn't go right to that. They're so ready to believe what other people tell them about themselves.
That reminds me of someone who said, when I walk in a room, I change the dynamics of the room.
Yeah.
And that person didn't like it.
You're never the same after meeting me.
True that. What is your advice, your best chunk of advice for other women?
Love yourself. It's a hard, hard, long journey to figure that out when that's not what you've been taught. But your relationship with yourself is a foundation for every relationship you're going to have in this lifetime. And if you don't learn to love yourself, you won't learn to let love in. You won't learn to love others the way you need to be loved either. So just really love yourself. All the lessons you need are going to come from that journey.
Oh, that's awesome.
Bravo.
There's some great nuggets, Kate.
Thank you.
It has been so great having you on Women Your Mother Warned You About today. We really appreciate your time. And if people want to reach out to you, learn more about the Academy, what are the best ways to do that?
Yeah, they can go to woman911academy.com. And if they want to learn what Woman 911 Academy can do for them personally, they can book a free assessment. Or they can just shoot me an email at info@woman911academy.com.
Awesome. Thank you again. And hey, Warners, it's time for us to wrap up this show. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. And hey, we could use some reviews and ratings. So if you haven't done that yet, go to iTunes and check that out and give us a review and a rating. Or anywhere you listen to podcasts, but we prefer iTunes because it seems to be the mothership. And if you want to get more information about me, you can go to GinaTremarco.com, learn more about Carolina Improv, Pivot 10 Results, and everything else, Gina. And for Rachel,
to connect with me, Rachel Pitts, you can find me all over social media as Rachel on Real Estate, and find all of our social media links and free downloads on our website at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
And let's give a quick shout out to Dermavogue, our sponsor that keeps us looking prettier than we already are. We love Dermavogue and Dr. Jim Turek for the things he does to our face. We'll leave it at that. Check them out at Dermavogue.com. And remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.